Hey everybody, welcome back to Highly Unlikely with Josh and Janae. Burr, burr,
burr. Oh my. Please don't do that again. Yeah, welcome back. We're here for another episode. Us two. I'm loving it.
I am too. I like that we're facing each other this season.
I switched that one of the last times. I said, let's look at each other because we're just talking.
Yeah, if you only listen and you don't watch, then you don't see the major changes happen in the studio, which is turning our chairs a few degrees.
It's such a big change. Yes. Yeah,
big changes.
Well, today topic is a lot of things around community. Mm-hmm. Kind of just going to go a little discussion about that.
Yeah.
Why is it important? Jesus, I mean, discipleship is community. It's a form of community. And that's the way he asked us to spread the gospel. So Jesus loves
community. By
community,
we mean who are you surrounding yourself with?
Right.
Because you are making decisions about who you're surrounding yourself with.
Yes.
And who are those people? But before we do that, here's our opening question.
Get us started, man.
Are you ready?
Yes.
What's the next exciting event that you have coming up? And you can't say unique. It's like 6 months away, but I know you're excited about that.
Yeah. The next exciting is vacation.
Vacation.
Family. Well, it's going to be a family trip. It's not vacation.
We're taking our kids. It's not vacation.
When you take your kids, it's a family trip because you're just parenting and dealing with tantrums in another state that's warmer.
Yes.
A vacation is when it's just us two. So it's not that, but we usually go somewhere warm. And I always tell people, we go somewhere warm in February. So we end up staying in North Dakota long-term.
Mm.
We go, so we stay.
Yes.
Because at February, maybe other North Dakotans or Midwesterners can say amen, but in February is when I say, why do I live in this place?
Or in this year, in mid-January.
Yeah, that wind chill, man. That was something else.
That was something.
But I would say I'm looking forward to that, just getting away with the kids and somewhere warm, like, hey.
Yeah.
We got some fun connections in some warm places for some free stays, like a free lodging option. So
yeah,
it's usually where we go and it's a blessing.
Mine is the same.
Boring.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing I'm excited about is I'm going with one of our pastors to visit another church that I'm excited. We're just going to learn from that pastor and I'm excited to do that here in a couple weeks. So
it's great.
That's the other thing.
Fun fact about Josh is he coaches other pastors, like in ministry and through some different things.
Yes, but I will not be really coaching on that trip. I will be getting coached. Yeah. So that's part of my community. Who's speaking into my life?
Yes. Great segue.
Yeah, come on. King of the transitions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Janae, you pulled up a video on Instagram this week and were showing me.
Mm-hmm.
I think you sent it to me. Janae's back on Insta a little
bit. I logged back in.
Mm-hmm.
It happened.
We talked about it last episode, so we won't get lost in it. But
I logged back in, which is a different state than I was. And I just
tested the
waters.
Cackling to reels is back in action.
Well, you know, my best friend did her best friend duty. And for a year, she kept sending me all the funniest reels.
Yeah. And you know what I realized? Because I sent Janae reels too, that my reels are not as funny.
No, because Josh was like, watch mine. And then we watched my best friends and we like almost peed laughing. So
yeah, they're good.
Yeah, but I saw this and this is the stuff that I love, like things that actually like help you and grow your understanding or just like, I would never have thought of this, but it was, I don't know who the guy was, but maybe someone from like Focus on the Family. I could go back and figure out who he is, but they were talking about how they did a survey through MOPS at their MomCon.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, this is only talking about women and specifically moms or whoever is at MomCon that year. But they did this like survey of like, what are the top five things you dislike about your churches and the top five things you like?
Mm-hmm.
And or something like that. And it was really surprising because the thing that they didn't like the most was that they didn't feel like their emotional and mental health was supported by their churches, which Josh and I were talking about that of like, okay, what does that look like? Just even as church leaders, like, and as the church globally, like, how do we pray about that? How do we actually do something about that? And even how are we doing in our church at that? But then they said what they loved the most was like groups or community or whatever form of their church was. For us, it's connect groups. So I'll just say connect groups was like what they loved the most because they were craving community and friendship and relationship with other people, specifically friends, other women. And I just think that's a great stat to lead into why Like, why is community so important?
Yep.
Why did Jesus' ministry was done in community, you know? And even just the importance of the community that we found each of ourselves in our own stories.
Right.
In serving Jesus.
Yeah, and you shared some of that in January when you spoke in church, because you talked about the different environments that you're raised in, from your church, your home, to coming to cross training, you know, ministry, and experiencing a different kind of community there than you had experienced before. And then actually living with somebody who, a young couple who was following Jesus faithfully, and not perfectly, you know, like any of us, but but they were doing their best to live inside out and follow Jesus both in their home and out in public or in church. And so why don't you talk through just some of those changes in community, or what community has meant to you in your journey to where you are today?
I firmly believe every friend, if you thought through every friendship that you have, your friend is either encouraging you or pushing you closer to Jesus or pulling you away from Jesus. I do not believe there's a neutral. I just really don't.
That's like a really important moment to just, I know you're listening to a podcast, but just to stop and do like a quick audit of
first five friends that come to mind.
Yeah. And just, are they, what direction are they pushing you or pulling you?
And not in, oh yeah, they are, but no. What impact does it have on me? Because you are accountable for your own actions, but you are influenced by those who are around you. And you can be the sum of your five closest friends can really indicate your future decisions, your future. So I just think that would be the summary that I had to learn when it came to community. And it's interesting because you have a portion of your life where you don't get to really choose your community, especially if you live in a small town, which is a lot in North Dakota.
Or you live in the country outside of a small town.
Right. like you. So I think there's 18 years of my life where you don't really choose your community. You're given your family. I was in a class of maybe 50. It's like you're given your classmates and it's a small pool. I get that there are smaller schools than that. But so for me, it just really started once I was an adult and left home. And it's so funny you say adult and I think back, I'm like, no, I was a kid. But you can vote and technically you're an adult. But and I remember, now we tell people this, but going to college, I wish someone would have been like, be so careful who you make your initial friendships with, because that will determine, you coach people in that now.
I used to talk to college freshmen, high schoolers going into college all the time about this. Like, here's the decisions you have to make, and you have to make them quickly. Like within the first couple weeks of school.
Yep.
If you want to follow Christ, you have to quickly plug in to Christian community. Otherwise, the whole flow of where college is going to take you is away from that community. And if you move away from that community, it's really hard to not spend 4 years in that group of friends that you made initially. And those friends in college, think about that. In those years and in the years following, you will make decisions about your mission in life. Like, what are you studying? What are you going to be? You're going to make decisions about your mate, who you're going to be married to, and you're going to make decisions about really your master. Like, you're going to submit your life to Christ. And so those first couple of weeks of the freshman year of college are critical to finding the right community.
Right. And so I didn't do that, but it's like, how do you summarize, you know, community in your life? But essentially, the huge catalyst change came not when I was attending church, but once I found community within the church, which is Christian community. Because you can find community anywhere. I mean, that's why there's community groups on Facebook. Like, it's people with shared interests finding and connecting over that shared interest. And it could be not great things, you know what I mean? So, that was just a journey for me. And I formed friendships based off of other things right away in my early years of college. And then for someone who had heard the gospel and experienced the Lord's presence, it didn't draw me to that. It didn't, it wasn't pulling me into that. It wasn't encouraging me towards morality and anything like that. So once I truly submitted to Christ, which came through putting myself in uncomfortable situations in connect groups or Bible studies where it's like, I don't really know these people super well, but I'm going to try. And that's hard when you're feeling like you're rebuilding friendships. And I definitely went through a phase where I felt like I was rebuilding friendships. Not that my friendships were, oh gosh, these are bad people. It was just, I was defining, like you said, that my mission in my life and mm-hmm. who my master is going to be, and it was going to be Christ. And if I didn't have friends that also was like, I want to submit to Jesus, I want to serve him with my actions and my words and everything, that would be really, really hard. And I would live in a cyclical frustration if I would have stayed that way. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean I wouldn't still hang out or go to dinner with any of those friends, but they're not my core. They're not mm-hmm. like my lifers, you know what I mean? Of friends. So, but yeah, I'm trying to, yeah, the biggest point, which I did talk about in my message in January, but, was living with a couple and just seeing the inside of their life. And they were newly married and serving Jesus, and they had friends that loved Jesus and their families loved Jesus. And it was just this beautiful picture. And mm-hmm. that the family very much adopted me into their family. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, we talked about it, I think, once on the podcast, but like we have our own three kids now, our own family. And even as of the past, I don't know, handful of years, we were still invited to their kids' birthdays. Like, hey, it's so-and-so's birthday. You guys are invited in the group text with, I just figured his party. And then I show up and it's all their family and us. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, cool.
Yeah. That's cool.
So the power of community, the power of other families, and if you're a believer, allowing other people into your life to show community. But then I think people are different in community too, where I am definitely a person where I have like three extremely deep friends. Like I have my people and they're my people, rather than like I have 10, like this friend group of 10 of us that are super close or feel super close. Mm-hmm. But I don't think there's a right or wrong in that. But yeah, for me, it's just like I just had lunch with one of them today,
yep.
the one that was the wife of the couple I lived with, and we still get lunch about every month and mm-hmm. are always texting and things like that. So, but my deepest three, they're my iron sharpening iron. They will tell me where I'm off. They will always lead me back to Jesus, even if I call and you and I are in a hard season.
Yeah.
I just remember that, talking to my best friend, and she listened so patiently and then didn't say, yeah, Josh sucks. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, well, you know, the word says this or that. And so those are the best friends that will lead you back to the Lord, even when it's hard. But it all came through, yeah, like groups,
yeah.
honestly.
I actually think it's like when, like right now I have a craving for coffee and some just showed up in the room. Come on. Thank you, Naomi.
Yes, it's coffee, but it's also warmth. And
yeah, it's
is
kind of
freezing.
Cold in the studio today. But I was thinking about how in your life, if there's like something you're lacking in your diet, all of a sudden you wake up and you're like craving salt, or you're craving a certain food, and really it's your body
eating
like
ice cubes.
It's your body like crying out for something that it knows it's deficient in. And I sometimes yeah. think community can be like that, that you go through different seasons where like your soul's crying out, saying like, I need somebody to mentor me, or I need somebody to like walk with me, or I need time with my best friend.
I just want
or,
someone to laugh with. Yes. Yeah.
And
like
I think
a
that's
friend.
A part of community is like knowing what your soul is actually needing and crying out for. Cause it's not good for people to be alone. That's what Genesis says. Like we need people. And that is maybe something that some of us have to like come to grips with, is like you need people, and it's okay to need other people and not always.
And in the same breath,
we need the Holy Spirit.
Neediness is unhealthy. Like, I mean, we did a whole podcast on enmeshment and triangulation.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
So I think that's always what's really hard in these podcasts, is mm-hmm. there's so much additional context you can
get.
Yeah, like,
and I'm speaking more.
You need people, but it's not that, oh, I need them.
I think I'm speaking more towards people that are like, have a tendency towards isolation or like, they're always comparing themselves to people, so they're never in true relationship.
Right.
Sorry, I had something I really wanted to say, so I didn't even hear what you're talking about.
No, I just heard Mitch laugh at
what I said. Oh, sorry. Mitch and Remy are here, everybody.
Give it up for the peanut gallery. Best. And I know you weren't saying, yeah, you need these people, and so you need to leech to them. Like you're like,
I'm saying a lot of us live at surface level.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what your soul needs is like commune is part of the word community, and like a true like coming together, experiencing life with other people.
Right.
So.
Right.
Which I was kind of that case. Like
I was gonna say, let's talk about your community story.
Yeah, I actually, and I read a book about this one time, but I think I experienced a lot of difficulty and trauma in my life because I had no community and I was very isolated, just not by any fault of really my family, but because I lived out of town in a rural area. There wasn't Zoom. you know, I didn't know. That's why.
It wasn't really phones, was there?
Well, yeah, there was like the dial, you know, like, well, not dial, you could press.
Wait.
There was phones.
Are you old enough to where like, was it?
We had a
cord
dial
to the wall, or
we had a cord to the wall dial phone in our shop. So I like remember that one, but no, cordless was a thing. And so I've kind of lived totally outside of community, and there's a lot of counseling I've done out of those years of my life where mm-hmm. I didn't have support. I didn't have a ton of Christian community. It's one thing to have like Christian community, but if you out of that community don't mesh with even people in Christian community,
like you're meaning compatibility.
Yeah, yeah. Like if you're in a church where you're like, well, I'm in church, but you haven't found relationships.
Oh my
You're
word.
Not truly yes. experiencing Christian community.
If you're only friends with someone because they say they're a Christian and like you just literally don't get along and you don't even have shared interests. No, that's not what we're saying. Like mm-hmm. it's finding like your people where like you just get like, it's like you just get me. Like literally my best friend and I will say, I don't know how you don't annoy me yet. And it's just the Lord's kindness that yeah. he's given us one another, which I think we do annoy each other in different ways and we have our own quirks, but we just like, it's like we get along and we're low maintenance and yeah.
Yeah. And I know we asked Remy, we were asking these guys like, you know, what they think of when they think of community or like what changed. And he talked about community that he got into, you know, that totally changed the trajectory.
Well, said his life didn't really change until he got into community and
yeah.
connect group.
And he named the names like of
and even him being
people.
On staff is probably tied to yeah. getting into that community, and now he's just even on staff at the church.
Yeah, and that's how it was cool. for me. Like I got out of high school and even into college my first year, and I had people I hung out with, but nobody that was like calling me higher.
Right.
Or that I had like, what's the word you use? Like chemistry with, or like
compatibility?
Compatibility yeah. with, to really be like, oh, these are my best friends that are and right. we're going the same direction. And then I went to San Diego for a summer and,
it was like an internship,
it was,
right?
Yeah. It was like a missions trip slash internship okay, slash discipleship. We moved there for like 9 weeks and there's 120 other college students and we got put in groups. The whole community like kind of lived together in different mm-hmm. areas along the beach. But I was put in a group with, you know, 3 other guys. And then there was a whole bunch of other, like 60 other guys on the trip. And I remember meeting some guys where I was like, oh, these are actually like my bros, like guys that I want to hang out with. And they love Jesus as much as I do, you know, or more. Mm-hmm. And I still have, like, I was in DC last year and hung out with one of them. Another one just texted me the other night. He's a Colts fan and mm-hmm. The Colts are trying to play into the playoffs. And I'm still in contact with them. And that changed everything. Like I can't even, for those of you listening, I cannot even tell you like how much that changed the trajectory of my life. It established my identity. It put me in accountability. It mm-hmm. changed desires that I had in my life. It mm-hmm. revealed Christ to me in ways that I had never experienced before
right.
in 9 weeks.
Yeah.
Like it was a short trip. I mean, it was immersive, but it was short.
I was gonna say you were immersed, like even like you didn't have your family to fall back on. You didn't have mm-mm. your normal relationships that you could fall back on.
Right. And I remember when I got there, I was counting, okay, I've been here 2 days. I only have, you know, 8 weeks and 5 days to go. Okay, I've been here 3 days and like counting up that way, like miserable. This is uncomfortable. And then somewhere it changed. And then I found myself counting down like, oh my gosh, we only have 14 more days. Oh, we only have 11 more days, mm-hmm. you know? And then that coming to an end. And I remember getting on the airplane to fly home and everybody had written each other notes because we all lived in different parts of the country. Mm-hmm. So we didn't even know when we'd see each other again. Mm-hmm. And the lady sat right next to me on the plane was the project director, like this single adult woman. She's probably like in her 40s or 50s. And she sat next to me. And I think it was a God thing because she was like the middle seat and I was the window. And I opened these letters and I sobbed mm-hmm. from San Diego to Denver just out of like gratitude, you know? Mm-hmm. And she just sat there right next to me like a mom. and I just, I'm oversharing, but I remember coming out of that experience and going back to Fargo at the time and just saying, God, I need that community here. Mm-hmm. And I'd now tasted it and I knew how to find it where I didn't before. And he put me in that community. And then mm-hmm. I moved from Fargo to Dickinson and lived really without community again.
Well, we were just talking about this the other day and you said, Because I was talking about a friend that moved to like a smaller town and just was like, oh, I feel for them. It's been really hard to, like, just population wise, where it's like, I know all the people that are in my age demographic and they don't seem like we're going to be good friends. Mm-hmm. And just when you talked about even just your time in Dickinson, it wasn't like, it just was like people, there wasn't people my age that we even had shared interests. Like, it literally just wasn't there. It wasn't like, I'm just not going to try.
Right. Like, or was I was really their hard. Age, but I was their pastor. And like, it was just very, like, I drove, you know, the 40 miles or whatever to Hebron every weekend to just hang out with my sister and her family. Right. And I loved that, but that was my only like safe space.
Yeah. And community.
And so all that to say, I did a life plan several years ago. And one of the jobs I had was to write down all the high points and low points in my life.
With this guy who does this, right? Yeah, like, it was like, what, 3 days?
Yeah, of just like looking at the course of your life and determining the direction you're going.
Yes.
But one of the exercises was to write down all the highs and low points of my life. And I think I overwhelmed him because I'm like very analytical. So I wrote down like all of them. I mean, there were dozens and dozens.
I was still back at home. So like, I wasn't there for this, but I can only imagine how detailed and well thought out you were.
So it was like, he had like 2 papers on the wall to map this thing out. And then we just kept adding papers because I had so many points. And then he said, put dots on if it was a low season, you know, this event, or a high season. And we mapped it out. And I could literally look at the line.
That it was like a graph, right?
It was like a line
down,
graph.
Up, down, yeah.
And I had these like low points, these drop-offs. Well, it started like kind of low, you know, and then it peaked. And then I had these drop-offs. And he said, what are the drop-offs have in common? And I said, well, it was when I left San Diego. It was when I left Fargo. It was when I left Dickinson. It was, you know, and every one of them was correlated to stepping out of community or a season of not having community. Mm-hmm. And that was just so revolutionary to me because it made me realize like, wow, out of all the successes and different things that I've had in my life, my highs and lows are not correlated to that. It's correlated to the people around me.
Yes.
And that realization has made all the difference.
And didn't he say something with marriage too? Because like marriage is the closest form of community you're choosing. Mm-hmm. And so that impacts you in ways that you can't, in good ways or bad ways.
Choice. So our marriage went through this thing, you know, or whatever, but it was always, every one of them was correlated to community. And I think, so the point is not about us necessarily, but the point is people have a lot of different reasons why they think they're happy or unhappy or what they need to succeed. Mm-hmm. But community and who's around you is central.
Right. Even all of that. We, gosh, it was, I think, in the old auditorium, but we did a, like a, maybe it was like Mental Health Awareness Day or something like that. I don't know if that's what the day is called. But it was something where it was a day where people were really focusing, a lot of influencers were posting about like mental health, different things like that. And it just happened to be on the same day on a Sunday or something like that where you were preaching a message on community and the power of community and that we need each other and we need people like in person. And community, and Alicia, who we've had on the podcast, who is also a counselor, she came up to me that day and she said, it's so interesting that so many people in the world are just talking about this topic or how bad it is, when actual studies have shown that the remedy for a lot of that can be community.
Yeah.
And is, it usually starts in isolation and starts either in really bad community that then makes mental health a lot worse, can make it worse. And so this is a drum that we have to beat so consistently and loudly as the church and as believers, because you have every opportunity to isolate. You literally could just stay in your house. You can get everything delivered to your house. You could work from home. You could like literally everything you could go without being around people. Mm-hmm. And so we have to make the effort and we have to actually understand the importance. Because I'm one of those people, I can be a hermit at home. Mm-hmm. I love it. I actually get more done. If I work a day at home, I get more accomplished in a day, truly. So I have to be one too to remind myself of like, I'm better emotionally, mentally, all around when I am in healthy community.
Yeah, and we're talking about healthy community. You know, this is not like, putting pressure on other people to meet your needs. You know, it's not unhealthy community, like, I just need to go out and do this, you know, like, or whatever. We're talking about healthy biblical community.
Can we just maybe describe our healthiest friendships?
Yeah.
Like, because I think sometimes, like I said, living with that couple, it proved to me like, oh gosh, this is what a healthy marriage looks like.
Yeah.
Or this is what healthy friendships look like. And if you've maybe not seen that, it's really hard to just try and make it up in your mind. But friendships, and especially when you're an adult, I feel for those. If you're like in middle school, high school, even college, like I feel for people because it's just like drama was bad when we were young, but I feel like it's like way worse today. But once you're an adult, like your friendships, I can't even think of the last time I was in like a fight with a friend, like a fight. Mm-hmm. Like I think I can know if there's tension, but it's just arguments or, oh my gosh, is that person mad at me? Or, oh my gosh, they think this. And it's just not a part of any of our friendships. But that also is purposeful, where if anyone indicated that, it was like, oh, we don't do drama. That's kind of a motto we say in our life. Right. Like, we just don't do drama.
We're not drawn to that.
And yeah, and even gonna like be like, ooh, I'm gonna like attach myself to this person in friendship or be on the phone with them a lot or texting with them when they're just so dramatic or everything is like, you can't even take a step because you're walking on eggshells and it hurts them. Or so there's those things too where you have to be wise with choosing your friends as well. But a part of that is first and foremost, you need to make sure you're not that person, right? Mm-hmm. And doing that. What were you going to say? What are you looking
at? Well, I just thought maybe as a guy, I can read some texts from one of my best friends.
Don't disclose who they are.
I won't.
Okay.
And I don't even, this is a friendship where we don't talk every day.
Yeah.
You know, but when
you talk to any of your friends every day other than the ones you work with?
Probably not.
Like, we talk to each other every day most days.
Just my best friend.
Which is me.
This is my bestie. Yeah. Okay. So like maybe this is weird, but I think sometimes guys
first of all, you as a man, if depending on who's listening, if you have had a model of toxic or unhealthy masculinity that men can't be sincere, can't be in touch with their emotions, that it probably will make you uncomfortable or just can't be encouraging.
And these aren't like deep heart level things, but it's just exchanges. 100%. Like I just said, hey man, thinking about you this morning, hope all is going well. He said, thanks brother, miss you a lot lately. Maybe we can think of a time to catch up. On a side note, and he gave me an update about his family and his life and a show he's watching. He said another text just randomly, hey, miss you, brother. Hope all is well. Sent me a happy Father's Day text, a happy birthday text. And then we'll go times without talking. But I regularly get texts that are like, hey, man, I love you and I need an update on your life. I miss hanging out with you. Mm-hmm. And almost every holiday, every birthday, you know, like just a presence. And then when we're together, if we get to see each other, then it's like you pick up right where you left off and you can talk longer. Because I'm not a phone person.
No.
You know, I'm not getting Janae knows.
No, you ain't. We did long distance and Lord's grace carried us through. I don't know how he gave me so much patience.
And some of you are great at that. I am not great at that.
Josh, okay.
I'm present where I am.
If you are connected to Josh in any personal way, you need to understand about him, which I love you, flaws and all.
Yes.
That Josh is out of sight, out of mind.
But
what?
Even though it's out of mind, there are people that are out of sight and I'm not thinking about them every day, but I love them dearly.
Oh, yes. You know? And just because it's out of sight,
and
out of mind doesn't mean it's,
like,
yes. Doesn't mean he doesn't like you or in my case, love you. And I had to understand that, which was so foreign to me. But even if he goes on trips and I'll be like, let's not forget you have a family at home. Hold it down the fort without you.
I'm learning.
You're
getting better.
Babe, you're like so much better. But I just think even some people are like, oh, hey, I texted Josh. I just didn't hear back. It's, you know what? Just try again.
Okay,
try again.
So I was just on a call with some pastors about this. And there are some people, it's very easy for you to be relational and stay connected with people.
Yes.
Like, and you're highly relational. Like for me, I have to be intentional and even strategic at times about staying in touch with the people I care about. because it's really easy for me to not. And so I think it's okay even to kind of like systematize, like, hey, I'm
like, you have a chart and you have names and I look through who have I not connected with, who have I not been intentional with
that I care about. But if I don't like have a system, I'm not going to intentionally reach out, and I don't want to be hurtful because I love them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there you go.
Sorry. Lots of fun things. But we are only doing 45 minutes today. Josh said we are keeping it to 45 minutes. So we'll kind of segue to the next thing so we make sure we don't go over.
Can I just give a couple of verses?
100%.
That like relate to this?
Say no?
Well, as a transition. I didn't know if you had your own transition.
No Bible then. Today.
No Bible. Genesis says it's not good for people to be alone. Proverbs 13:20 says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm. So it's not just being surrounded by people, it's being surrounded by the right people. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. People often say, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And so really like who you surround yourself with matters. We've said that 1,000 times, but we see people who are trying to make change in their life or trying to go a new direction or trying to live differently, but they go back to the same people and they kind of, they're kind of deceived into thinking they're going to make a difference, you know, prematurely in that group before like a work has truly been completed in them. And so we should be a light in places where there's darkness or there's difficulty. But unless your own fire is burning, it's really hard to go in and be a light somewhere.
Right. And there's like scripture talks about like there is a spiritual maturing that has to happen. Mm-hmm. There is the process of sanctification of day by day being transformed more into the likeness of Christ. And so it's like someone's like, I accepted Christ yesterday, so I can withstand XYZ. It's like, no, you're on the milk. You're still a baby. You have to immerse yourself.
You have to immerse yourself if you're really going to lay hold of it.
Yeah. It's so interesting because I think of a friend that lived in, I think it was Guatemala. Yeah, Guatemala for like 3 months and immersed herself to learn Spanish. And she still can speak Spanish. And she knew when she learned Spanish because she talks in her sleep. And she was speaking Spanish in her sleep.
That's hilarious.
Is what her roommate said. But I think with that too, it's just very true. Like she knew Spanish, had taken years of it, but was in America. But once she immersed herself, she's like, only took weeks until she was speaking fluent with those around her. So I have such a good dad joke, but. Okay.
I mean, I dream in Spanish in my sleep and it's usually, yo quiero Taco Bell.
Did you just make that up right now?
I don't even know if I said it right. No, isn't that what the little chihuahua says on the Taco Bell commercials?
Well, I don't know if it says of like the old, maybe really
I don't even
old
know if
commercial.
There's still Taco Bell commercials or a chihuahua. Man,
probably not. But, well, where were we going for that dad
I don't know,
joke?
But I kind of want Taco Bell.
Oh, we were talking before we started recording just about community. And Mitch here had said, we just were talking about like even those that are fighting addiction and overcoming addiction where maybe you go to treatment and you get clean, but then once you get out, or I think of those that even have been incarcerated and you get out and there's no like pathway to healthy community that would lead to different decisions and you go right back to the same crowd and there's either a relapse or you find yourself back in.
Yeah. Friends, it is hard because you are lonely and you want to be with familiarity and like people that you know or people that love you. It is hard, but you have to suffer for a season until you find like the right community if you don't want to stay in the same cycles that you've been in.
Yeah, but it's just not like easy. Being comfortable, being uncomfortable in regards to like, being around groups that you don't know people. And I get now like social anxiety and all these different things play a part. And so that's, I think, to the worst thing the enemy can deceive you into, though, is to steer away from that and to avoid it altogether. So there's so many different ways to make friends too, even than when we were in community. But I feel like God's given us like our people. But we might reference this more often now, but we've been talking about just personally. It was a great word picture that Josh thought of. I think it was you, about the iceberg of Evangel, where an iceberg, you like see what, 10, 15% of it, and all of it is underneath the surface. Like you don't see like 90% of it. So why we say the iceberg of Evangel is like, if you just come, if you watch online, if you visit the website, if you come on a Sunday, like you are probably seeing maybe 10 to 15% of what is available, of what even goes on. I think that's just so funny what people would ask. People work at the church, or particularly pastors, are like, what do you do all week? You must just work on a message all week. It's like, you have no idea, like all the everything amount of planning, that goes into it. Everything that, all the things that are happening. Mind you, like the thousands of people that come that then, like just people in general. But in regards to groups, we just wanted to kind of talk through the iceberg of Evangel, that is groups, because, and community, because there's a lot of opportunity. Way more than we can even list on our own.
Right.
Are you looking up something?
I was, but I'm going to share it at the end. I'll wait. Great. So you can stay on this path.
So here, and again, we started this podcast. Maybe you're like, I live in Michigan. How does this matter to me? Well, we never started this podcast to go anywhere outside of North Dakota or Evangel. Mm-hmm. So wherever your home church is, in the local church that you're in, find and ask what the community is there and get plugged in. So,
And if that is you, just hang on with us, because at the end, I'm going to share about the five levels of friendship and what levels we should regularly be living in our conversations.
We're going to be done in 45 minutes.
I'm going to do it so fast.
We're going to do it so fast.
And okay. I'm giving them a little, you know, teaser.
Yeah, right. You're really good at building the tension.
Thank you.
Okay. So we actually just, there's lots of things when it comes to groups. And thankfully, we have such an amazing department over it. I even just had a one-on-one recently.
Yeah.
And it was a lot about groups. And it's so funny because people request meetings with me and I don't think they believe me. Or when my assistant responds and says, hey, it actually would be best if you met with this person, because Janae's not even over that. And like people think just because if you're over an entire thing, like the church, or you lead the church, that you must know everything about everything. There's no way.
No, there's so much.
That would be the worst management style ever. Mm-hmm. And so I would say, I know a little bit about a lot, but we have experts like in every department and area.
Who know a lot about a little bit.
A lot about a specific area. Right. And like that will bless you so much more. So, and then so sometimes I take those meetings and then the whole meeting is really me saying, yeah, I'm going to pass that information to so-and-so. Because it's like, I can't do it. So when it comes to groups, great department that develops this. But we have some connect groups that are like very much like support-based when it comes to, I don't know if there's a different word we use for that, but FPU, Financial Peace University, if you're walking through
financial
difficulty.
They're really trying to get you from like here to there.
Like it's really going to help you in a certain topic.
If you're walking through something, so like Financial Peace is, if you're in debt or your finances aren't in order, it's going to give you tools to move forward. Divorce Care is going to help you recover and move on and prosper after divorce. Grief Share is the same with grief. Why don't you talk about Freedom Groups?
Yeah, Freedom Groups we just launched, which was based off of a different church's curriculum. But, and I always say the word of inner healing. Like it is a facilitator for deep inner healing.
That the Holy Spirit does.
Yes. And I think every single person would benefit from a Freedom Group and attending it.
Who's
and
it for?
If you walk through trauma, if you have any unforgiveness, bitterness, hurt, anything, if you're like, I don't have any of that, still, it would be powerful. But
well, and a lot of people, you say like unforgiveness, bitterness, hurt, and they don't, they think, oh, I'm good. But if you have fruit in your life of like addiction or emotions that you can't control or habits that you're trying to change, like those might be the fruit, but the root is maybe some of the things Janae mentioned.
Yeah. And a lot of times you go through something like a Freedom Group and then you're like, oh, I would have never thought that this could be tied to this in my life. Alpha is a group that is great for if you're like new to faith or
like trying to find community. You'll be in a table with other people.
Yes. Trying to find community. Even we went through with our connect group.
Yep. Alpha is going to talk about your salvation.
So good.
Healing. It's going to introduce you to the work of the Holy Spirit.
Why we believe what we believe as Christians.
Yeah. Why we believe what we believe. It's great.
Yeah. And then I love our website and what they do with groups, because you can like click what campus. You can click women, men, co-ed, kids, youth, like the demographic, if you want to even go as far to select a date. But like there's just so many different ones. It's so funny because I think people will come and say, oh, we need this kind of a group. my response is the same every time. Yes. Do you want to lead one? Mm-hmm. Because if we don't have them, it's because
there's not
the
leader.
Harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. So right. Would you like to be a worker? Do you feel called to be a worker? Which all disciples are.
Which, come on, there's just some people that there something's is. Been on your heart that you've been waiting for leadership to do or the pastor to do. And it's on your heart because you're called to do it and you're mm-hmm. called to lead it.
So. I would say the ages of 40 to 60 is the age demographic where I would say is the greatest need for group leaders. Mm. And in the demographic that's saying, we want community, we want to find community, we wish we could join a group. And it's like, it's those people in that age demographic that lead a group from what I've seen, their groups fill up very fast mm-hmm. from what I've seen. But yeah, there's like eKids Connect groups, which literally I set a reminder in my phone the other day because I've missed the deadline. It's so funny. You know what? I said this the other night to a friend that maybe it's just me, maybe it's Josh and I kind of want to start an anonymous ministry stories podcast.
Yeah.
Where people can write in their stories. We don't say who they are. We don't even say the state. We don't use names. And you read real things that have happened to people in ministry. And I don't think you would believe half of the stories that we've heard or even happened to us personally. But one of the stories that I would think of that, which isn't that outrageous, but there was like a deadline for eKids Connect groups. And when people missed it, they were ticked. And like, it's interesting where we all profess to be Christians, but somehow when we're mad or like we think we need to be the exception, people are not kind to certain staff members on the phone. And they were talking about that in the office of someone who was like, oh yeah, I had this conversation and this person was ripping me like, you know, to pieces. And I said, well, did you tell them that I missed the deadline and my kids aren't in a Connect group? Like there is no special exception.
Now listen, I'm not cynical about what Janae just said, but I will defend our staff.
Right.
Because most of you that are complaining about stuff like this,
which
are only in church once a month.
I would highly doubt they're listening to the
podcast. Or you're not reading the newsletter. You're not listening to the podcast. And then you're just mad that you don't know. Well, if you show up, you'll know. So stop bickering with the staff team about it.
But also just in principle. Yeah, you can say it. But in principle, too, it's like, oh, bummer. In humility, I did miss the deadline.
Right.
You're right.
Rats. That's on me. That's on me.
In
okay.
Pride,
anyways, we got
to attack
on.
The messenger is not fair. But we're I just think cynical, it was funny because then the person said, I actually did. I did tell them that our leader missed the deadline and her kids aren't even in Connect.
Come on.
I was like, well, good thing we disciple you at home as well. So there is a little snippet of the iceberg of groups
at
Evangel. There's a lot more. But
thousands of people are involved in groups. There's a group for you.
Yeah.
If you want to get plugged in.
Yep.
Okay, closing thought in 2 minutes or less.
2 minutes.
Here's the 5 levels of conversation by John Powell.
Okay.
And these kind of teach us about the level of our community. Mm-hmm. So the level 5 is small talk. Small talk is, how are you?
How's the weather? Oh, I'm good.
I'm
sorry.
Good.
Yeah, come I didn't on. Know you wanted to go
follow
back
my
and
thought.
I thought you were saying like examples of small talk.
No, this
I'm
is
good.
And like this just doesn't work in marriage if you want a fulfilling marriage. You know, a level 5 is just not going to cut it. Level 4 is factual conversation. This is shared information without personal comments. So
it's cold outside today.
Yes. Where are you going? Out. You know, those types of things. There's no hard exchange. It's just knowledge that you're exchanging. Level 3 is ideas and opinions. This is the beginning of intimacy, is at level 3. And it exposes your thoughts, ideas, feelings, and opinions. And this is where, like in marriage, your spouse actually gets to know you. Level 2 is feelings and emotions. This is where you get more vulnerable, describing what's going on inside of you, how you feel about someone or a situation. If you don't have these conversations, well, I'm just not an emotional person. Well, you live in level 3 conversation and that's not fulfilling for you or the people that want to love you either. And then level...
I love that you said that, like it's only men that would say that.
Well, I said it in a man voice because I have one. And then level 1 is deep insight. This is rare, insightful moments when you're perfectly in tune with another person and understanding depth and emotional satisfaction. If you have a best friend, you peak at level 1 conversation with them. And those are the meaningful conversations that you think back to because we don't live in level 1. Some people want to live in level 1. And it's just heavy, deep all the time. Health is to oscillate between levels 2 and levels 3 in your relationships. So go deeper. And if you're just too intense and heavy and emotional, maybe just back off and talk about the weather once in a while and you'll find some balance.
I feel like my lunch I had with my friend perfectly describes that. Like literally it was like from very superficial stuff to like literally some of the deepest parts of our stories. Mm-hmm. To our kids and how we are with our husbands, and then making jokes about, I think it was her hair color. Hey, I like your hair color. Did you dye your hair? So it's like, yep, that about sums up one of my best friends and I in our lunch today.
Yep. And one of my favorite sayings is, if you want to have a friend, you got to be a friend. So if you want deeper conversation in your friendships, you're going to have to step out on a limb and be that kind of friend before you're going to get one.
Right. Community. Glad I married you.
Thanks.
For life.
Glad I married you too. I'm glad your friend that you had lunch with came into your life. Dude. That helped out on us being together. So thanks to that special friend.
I'll have to tell her to listen.
All right. Okay. We love you guys. Thank you for joining. And subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Share it if you think this conversation will be helpful for somebody. And we'll see you next time.